Last November, the World Alliance of Mixed Martial Arts, also known as WAMA, was first launched. A novel concept to the world of MMA, WAMA is its first ever sanctioning body. According to its website, GoWAMA.com, its goal is to, quote, rank MMA fighters by weight division, establish unified rules, ensure the safety and welfare of fighters, and sanction world championship bouts. It goes on to say, quote, it will enable the best fighters in the world to face off against each other, creating unified legitimacy and increasing the integrity of the sport, end quote. Well, 5 months after its launch, MMA Rated Radio wanted to take a closer look at the ins and outs of WAMA and how it has progressed over time. So, it's a pleasure to welcome WAMA's president and CEO, David Zaidi, and its COO and executive vice president, Michael B. Lynch. Gentlemen, welcome to MMA Rated Radio.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Great. Ariel, this is Mike Lynch. Thanks so much for having us on.
Guys, thank you for taking the time. Great to be talking with you. And let me first just say before we get rolling, in the interest of full disclosure, I, Ariel Helwani, have accepted a position as one of the pollsters on WAMA's ranking committee. And as I've said to you before, this is a great honor for me. But like many others, I'm just sort of itching to know a little bit more about the organization and what's it all about. So I'm happy that we have this forum right now to talk about it.
Great, and we welcome you to that ranking committee because we look at that as being fair and objective with no influence from promoters and with no influence at all from WAMA. We just administer that ranking committee.
Great. All right, so you know, I have a ton of questions, want to know all about it, but first, Michael, let me just start with you, and then Dave, you can you know, play off of it. I just want to know a little bit more about your guys' background. You know, if you've done any work in the world of mixed martial arts prior to this, and really what you've accomplished professionally in your careers.
Ariel, that's a great question because I'm sure a lot of your listeners are asking exactly the same issues concerning WAMA and all the individuals involved. I've been an attorney for almost 12 years now. My background is in pharmaceutical and medical device mass torts. In conjunction with that, however, my former law partner and myself, Fred Levin, have represented a number of very influential boxers. Fred, of course, as everyone knows, is a former boxing manager of the year, represented Roy Jones Jr., Ike Corte, Felix Trinidad. I myself have conducted negotiations for a number of MMA superstars, including Don Frye. We got involved, and myself, I got involved with mixed martial arts through way of our representation of fighters, and we heard a lot of the grievances that they had and a lot of the issues they had. And through our experience with sanctioning bodies and boxing, we saw a void to fill in MMA, and that is WAMA.
Hey, Arion, this is Dave Zaidi, and I had a career with the FBI for 33 years. I ended up my career as assistant director for the counterintelligence division of the FBI. And prior to that, I was appointed by the president to be the national counterintelligence executive for the United States. And I also served 2 years as the head of the counterespionage group at the CIA. Now, you may wonder, what kind of background is that to be getting into MMA? But I think there were a group of individuals who were looking to found a company for profit, but one that would clearly benefit the world of MMA by bringing a strong face of integrity to the community, and especially for the fan and the fighters, and that this organization could be represented by somebody like myself who they felt would clearly show that we had no agenda other than trying to do the right thing for this sport, trying to help this sport, and that we would be above reproach and that we would do this objectively and totally and with total transparency.
So, David, right now, and I think you could speak on Michael's behalf, this is your full-time gig, right? You guys are fully invested in WAMA.
That's correct. I am the CEO of WAMA, which is a fully incorporated corporation. It's a C-Corp in Florida, and Michael is our chief operating officer.
Okay, and let me just first say, I'm sorry if I might be mispronouncing WAMA, you know, the Canadian background. We sometimes, you know, potato, potato, avocado, avocado. So I apologize about that. Okay, so you guys definitely well-respected in the fields that you've come from. And, you know, David, let me just say, a guy with a background in the FBI, definitely impressive to get in mixed martial arts. And I venture to say a lot of people don't want to mess with you. But all that said, why start WAMA? I mean, were you guys sitting around one day and thinking, okay, this is, you know, the sport is going down the road that we don't like it to be going down? You know, maybe, Michael, with your background in the world of boxing, you might have thought, that you don't want to see the same mistakes done. So, Michael, why did you guys actually get together and put this organization together?
Well, Aria, we have the utmost respect for boxing. It's one of my favorite sports along with mixed martial arts. But what we did see is a fracturing of the belt system in mixed martial arts and the ranking system. What we've tried to do is correct the flaws of boxing, given, however, that it is a great sport, and bring together the best people to administer a sanctioning body and even a greater organization, which is WEMA, because we're not just the sanctioning body, and bring that all together to correct what is wrong with boxing and what could be wrong with mixed martial arts in the future, head off any of the problems, and increase the legitimacy, the integrity, and the longevity of the sport for the long term.
All right, well, David, let me ask you this then. I mean, now the UFC definitely far and away the top dog in the world of mixed martial arts, and especially with the demise of Pride, obviously you have Elite XC moving up in the rankings with you know, CBS on board with them. The IFL is sort of trying to feel their way out of the, you know, out of the gutter, but is there really a splintering of titles? I mean, does anyone view any of the champions in the other organizations as being a better champion than anyone in the UFC? I mean, you think of Fedor. Obviously, he was a former Pride champ. He's probably the biggest dog not being in the UFC right now. But other than him, is there really a problem where people don't look at Anderson Silva or, you know, BJ Penn as the top dog in their respective divisions?
Well, yes, there is. And let me put it in the words of the fighters themselves. I think the fighters and all of the ones that we have spoken to, and we've spoken to fighters from all of the promotional groups, have said that they want to fight the best. They want to prove that they're the best. They want to win a world championship belt regardless of who they have to fight or what promotional organization they come from. So in looking at that, in looking at what we can bring to the sport, what we're saying is, regardless of the promoters, let's put the best fighters in the ring to come up with a true world champion in each of the weight divisions. While at the same time, we don't interfere at all with the promoters. In fact, we bring value added as they promote these particular fights. And of course, the championship fight could be between two fighters from the same promotional organization. So however they were ranked within the WAMA rankings, that's where we would look to see which would be the world championship fight.
Okay, so Michael, right now, obviously, the UFC, like I said, top dog, and I've heard you guys mention in other interviews that they are sort of the big elephant in the room. What kind of improvements or advancements have you made in terms of establishing a relationship with them so that they can recognize WAMA as the number one, you know, as not so much the number one organization, but or sanctioning body, your rankings as the official rankings for mixed martial arts?
Well, Aria, that's a great question. I always want to start it off by saying is that we totally acknowledge that the UFC has brought the sport of MMA to where it is. If you look at our WAMA rankings, the UFC dominates most weight divisions. Right now, we would hope that the UFC would embrace an organization that is as objective and as qualified as our ranking board is today. We rank the fighters according to their worth in the ring or the octagon, and the UFC has the majority of the fighters ranked within our divisions. We continue to reach out with them, and we do hope as various organizations grow, gain additional fighters, that the wisdom of seeing WAMA's rankings as the one unifying aspect of the rankings throughout this sport will become obvious to the UFC, and they will come on board, and we welcome that day.
Have you guys actually sat down with Dana White or Lorenzo Francfortita to try to give your case as to why they should be more open to the concept behind WAMA?
Dave might be better to answer this, but I will do so in so much that one of our board of directors, nationally renowned attorney Fred Levin, who represents Roy Jones Jr., has sat down with Lorenzo Fertitta, and that occurred in the fall of last year. As we like to say, Lorenzo did not show Fred the door. They had a very cordial and informative discussion with no agreement other than a continuing dialogue. And that continuing dialogue, we are hopeful, is going to lead to an agreement sometime in the future for the UFC to participate not only in our rankings but in our world championship fights.
Yeah, Aaron, let me add to that, because we believe that we offer no threat to the UFC or to any of the promoters, as I said before. Any fight that we sanction, we are not asking for a sanctioning fee from the promoters, and we're not asking for any percentage of the purse whatsoever. All of our income stream comes from our own website, from advertising, and from the sponsorship of the belt, and from merchandising. So we're asking nothing from the promoters except to be a value added and help them promote a particular fight, of which there would probably only be a maximum of 27, 29 fights a year, given how often a fighter could defend his title and how many weight divisions there are. But we have spoken with all of the other promoters out there, and we are starting to receive tremendous support from them across the board and a recognition that this is the way to go for the integrity of the sport, for its longevity, and for the fan, and also for the fighter, because we think we can bring safety for the fighter. We've teamed up with the Andrews Institute, and we can bring prosperity for the fighter, because the purses should grow as you fight for a world championship. We also believe that we can help market the individual fighter and make them the face of MMA as well as the promotional organizations.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate for a second and sort of go put myself in the shoes of the UFC, because especially in the last, I'd say, 6 months or so, you see a lot, or you hear a lot of organizations, you know, M1 Global starts and they say they want to work with the UFC. You've heard it from Gary Shaw of Elite XC saying he wants to work with the UFC. And in their shoes, makes total sense. I mean, right now, like you said, the UFC dominates anyone's rankings, no matter the weight class. And if you consider the WEC, they'll dominate the featherweight division as well. So why would they want to work with these other organizations? Why would they want to, you know, co-promote and have to, you know, share revenue and live gate purses and all that stuff? Why would they want to do that if everything's going just fine for them, Michael?
Well, Ariel, I mean, going just fine. I mean, UFC's business model cannot be knocked. I mean, they're going to have a very successful promotion coming up in Canada. However, things are in flux for the UFC and the MMA sport in general. I'll give an example. What we now have is rumors that Fedor is going to fight Tim Sylvia. We saw the defection of Tim Sylvia from the UFC. We saw Fedor now hopefully signing with Affliction or being able to fight in the United States for the fans' benefit. There is a lot of things going on in MMA right now. It's hard to predict where things are going to be. So if, in answer to your question, why would the UFC want to get on board? I think in the future what we're going to see is a number of promotions commanding a greater share of the most knowledgeable of the most attractive fighters that fans want to see, which is going to encourage cross-promotional fights. That is exactly what WAMA is here to do, is to see the best fighters fight each other.
All right, go ahead, David.
I think that there are promotions coming into existence, people like Mark Cuban who may be getting involved, people who have the money to stay the course, people who have the money to attract fighters by treating them as true athletes, and who are interested in seeing a true world championship fight, regardless of where the promotional organization may be or where the fighter may exist within it. So I think that more importantly, too, if you look at the fan's going to demand that these fighters fight each other. And also I think that an organization like WAMA gives the obscure fighter, somebody who may be with a smaller promotion but is moving up the WAMA rankings, the opportunity to eventually fight for a world championship and the opportunity to develop his own fan base and his own marketing schemes to help him individually as well as his promoter.
Well, David, with the rise of all these secondary promotions trying to make a name for themselves in North America, you see a situation like Elite XC and Strikeforce. They're probably the two biggest promotions that have worked together to put on successful shows. And obviously I haven't been in the rooms and in the meetings and all that, but you hear a lot of rumors about those two organizations not getting along. Scott Coker, the brains behind Strikeforce, and Gary Shaw, when their deal runs out, they've got one more show left on their contract that it doesn't seem as though they'll be working together now, especially with Strikeforce being affiliated with NBC and Pro Elite with CBS. It might make things even more difficult. So you look at that, and doesn't that raise some questions as to whether or not different promotions can actually work together?
Yes, I think. Now, we've met with both of those individuals, with both Gary Shaw and with Coker. Both of them have expressed support. I think Gary has had several questions where he was concerned that we were heading in the right direction, but maybe missing a few rungs in the middle that we needed to get straight. But in talking to both of these individuals, I think they both recognize that eventually you want to have that single world champion in the weight divisions, and that the only way you could do it would be to have a fight between the fighters from each of the promotional groups. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to get along totally across the board. In fact, in a funny way, it might help with the promotion. But the idea is that for the world championship, which we're talking about one fight and a defense of that title over a course of a year or two or three times, that that cooperation could exist and that WAMA could be the organization that would bring that fight about and that would bring standardization to the sport for that particular fight.
So are you only looking to facilitate the matchmaking of, you know, champion versus number one contender? Or, you know, let's say the third-ranked guy fights for Elite XC, the second-ranked guy fights for the UFC. Are you looking to make those matches as well, or is this only for the champions, Michael?
Right now our goal is to unify the undisputed champion in each weight division. But Ariel, if you could, I don't want anyone to lose sight of what WAMA really is. WAMA is far more than just a sanctioning body. We are what we describe as a fighter and fan-forward organization. In addition to our rankings, in addition to our undisputed champions, WAMA is going to advocate for a fighter pension fund, a fighter organization to see increases in salary and insurance benefits. We're going to organize both fighter and promoter summits. We are a full-fledged organization that is dedicated to the betterment of the sport. Part and parcel of that, however, is, of course, what we like to describe as our creme de la creme, which is the best fighters fighting for each other for the WAMA championship.
Okay, so Michael, let's talk a bit about the safety of the sport, because just this past week, you know, the horrible news of Sam Vasquez, a fighter out of Houston, Texas, died, and now it's been made official that his injuries that were suffered in a bout in Texas late in 2007 were the contributing factors for his untimely death. I'm sure you guys have studied this situation and are hoping for something like this never to happen, and a lot of people have been sort of, for lack of a better term, anxiously waiting for that time where something horrible would happen in MMA like we've seen in the world of boxing. What can you guys assure the up-and-coming fighters out there that situations like this will be sort of taken care of beforehand and made sure that nothing like this ever happens, as well as taking care of the families of victims such as the family of Sam Vasquez, David?
Well, first of all, I agree with you 100%. In about the safety of the fighters and what has to be done. I would also put out there, as you know, but a lot of people do not realize, that MMA is in many regards a lot safer than boxing. And I know if there's one death in MMA, it's tragic and we don't even want that one death. But I was recently reading in Sports Illustrated that 123 female athletes in the collegiate world had died, I believe, since 1993, and 60% of those were cheerleaders. So there's always a danger inherent in any sport. But what we are doing in WAMA, because we recognize this, is we have teamed up with the Andrews Institute, of which Joe Andrews of Tommy John Surgery, who's famous for that, is a partner with us to study injuries and to study impact, the impact that the sport has on the athlete, and what can be done to prevent those injuries, but and also what can be done to take care of those injuries when they occur, so that we can guarantee that fighter is in a good enough condition to fight again. So we're looking for the Andrews Institute to come in and to study these injuries and to come up with answers and to work with the fighters in both prevention, training, but also in the treatment of those injuries. And then what we would do when there are serious injuries, that's why we're looking at having a pension fund and a health care fund, and contributing a percentage of a percentage of the profits we make in each world championship fight to those causes.
In a situation, David, much like the Sam Vasquez one, will WAMA sort of investigate if the proper steps were taken to, there's been some talk that he had, prior blood clot problem and things of that nature. Will you guys look into a situation like that and speak to the Texas Commission and see if they could have done a better job in protecting the safety of their fighters?
Well, we are not a commissioner's office at this point, but we would like to add perspective in any way we can to any of the serious issues that surround MMA. And we will certainly try to take a lead role whenever we are asked to do that or whenever we would feel that it was necessary to contribute. So as as WAMA emerges, these type of issues will come more to the forefront for what we are concerned with, and in particular with working with the states who sanction the fights and have the rules and regulations that the fights take place around, and also in helping to standardize things within the sport. We're more than willing to work with all of the promoters, all the fighters, and all the states in order to accomplish the goal of having the safest possible environment for the fighters to fight in, and to ensure the safety of the fighter, and to ensure the best possible medical protection as well as care if something should happen.
Michael, as I said at the top, it's been close to 5 months since the official launch of WAMA. You look back at when you guys launched in November, and today here we are almost mid-April. Are you happy with the A, progression the organization has made, and B, the acceptance of it within the MMA community?
Well, Ariel, that's a great question. First off, when we announced in WAMA at Gallagher Steakhouse in New York City, we promised the organization that we would have a WAMA sanctioned championship bout in the first or second quarter of 2008. We are still confident that that will occur. Secondly, in regard to our acceptance, I will say that the response to our ranking committee has been overwhelmingly positive. Many of you may know that I was lucky enough to be featured on HDNet Fights and Inside MMA last weekend. I have had dozens and dozens of emails of fans who have congratulated us on our objective ranking committee, of which, Ariel, I know you are a part, and I thank you for it. To answer to both of your questions, I'm very happy to where WAMA is right now. And in regard to our acceptance, I'm very happy that we see a growing fan base and growing acceptance between the promoters and the fans as to our rankings and our goal for a unified, undisputed champion.
Well, Michael, you mentioned...
Ariel,
go ahead, David.
Ariel, if I could add to that a little bit here. You know, what we have tried to do is bring on the best possible people we can find in order to enhance both the image, reputation, and the capability of WAMA. And in that regard, we brought on Pat Miletich, who is now a vice president for fighter and promoter relations, and that has added tremendous legitimacy to our organization and has opened up numerous doors for us to go through and sit down with people to clearly explain to them what WAMA is all about and what we are not, and to explain how, you know, people are using the fact of being a sanctioning body against us. We are not a sanctioning body like they have in boxing. We are totally different, and we're looking for all of the right reasons to make this sport better.
Yeah, I think that's maybe has been the biggest misconception about WAMA, people thinking that it is a sanctioning body. But as you clearly have stated throughout this interview, it's absolutely the opposite. And I also think that getting guys like Pat Miletich, Bill Goldberg, people who are recognizable names but also very respected in the MMA community, especially Mr. Miletich, I mean, that goes a long way in terms of gaining respectability and you know, acceptance, as Michael mentioned, you know, for many years to come. Michael, I wanted to ask you, you said that you are confident that in the first or second quarter of 2008 that you guys will be able to put together a WAMA accepted title fight. Can you shed a little more light on that? What weight class, which fighters, which organizations are involved?
Well, right now we would, of course, like to save that for a press conference. But, Ariel, but with all the announcements with several of the fights that are going to be upcoming, with Fedor's ability to fight in the United States, with Tim Selvia's now signing with Monte Cox's new organization, Adrenaline MMA, we are confident that we're going to be able to put together a cadre of individuals and fighters that the fans are going to accept as a unified, undisputed WAMA champion and move that forward to a defense, not only a title match, but a defense in 2008.
Well, David, are you guys looking to have a WAMA belt in each weight class, or if there's, let's say, a Strikeforce champion and an Elite XC champion, will those belts be unified? Will the fighter be holding both belts? How would that work?
Oh, absolutely, they could hold both belts. In other words, we will have a WAMA belt. There will be a WAMA World Championship belt, perhaps backed by a sponsor. But you also could have, I mean, obviously you could have a champion within each of the promotional ranks. and that would be very acceptable to us.
Michael, are you concerned that now, as there are many more promotions propping up all over the United States and across the world, that like boxing, you'll have these ABC champions and there'll be too many belts now that you guys are introducing one yourselves?
Ariel, that's a great question. What WAMA has done is moved beyond just the concept of being solely a sanctioning body. As I indicated before, we are a fighter and fan-forward organization. It'd be very hard for someone to duplicate what WAMA has done and what is intending to do for the sport of MMA. So in answer to your question, I do not anticipate, with the acceptance that we have had from the fan base and likewise the acceptance that we've had from the variety of promotions, that another organization is going to be willing to step up and do what we plan on doing for both the fighters and the fan in the sport.
All right, Michael, I'm sure a big part of what you guys are trying to accomplish is to create some uniformity within the sport. And, you know, you look at MMA in North America as well as in Japan, some fights are held in a cage. Some fights are held in a ring. The IFL rounds are shorter than the UFC rounds. Is that one of your goals as well? Because I think for fans, you know, boxing, it's always 3-minute rounds, 12-round fights. Sometimes in the past, it's been 15-round title fights. You know, they're always held in a ring. Some might be a little bigger, but it's always the same thing with the ropes and all that. Are you guys going to try to encourage promotions to adopt, and I think given the fact that the UFC is so popular and sort of so established in the mainstream world, a cage, have all the fights in a cage, and let that be the symbol of mixed martial arts?
Well, Errol, in answer to your question, WAMA is dedicated to see unification of not only the format of the fights, but also to the rules, in so much as is that for fans to appreciate the sport and for fighters to have a comfort level into where they're fighting, how they're fighting, and when they're fighting, we do have to have some type of unification. And I agree that they have fans now that are accustomed to fighting in, to seeing fights in a cage or seeing fights in a ring, or fighters that are likewise accustomed to fighting in a certain arena. In the end, I think unified rules and a unified area of combat is not only a betterment for the sport, but also a betterment for the fans. So yes, WAMA is striving to see those two unifications occur sometime soon.
Michael
and Ariel, many of the promoters have seen that as something that WAMA can help with, particularly as we head toward a world championship fight. And I think the more that you standardize it, the more that you bring legitimacy to the sport, the more, and what we're looking at doing also is to increase the demographics of the sport, to increase the fan base across the board, and to attract corporate America and folks like that who bring more to the sport. And in trying to do that, I think that legitimacy and standardization are two of the key things that help do that.
David, does WAMA have a preference as to, you know, under what form fights are held, meaning a cage or a ring, and how long rounds should be? Or are you just looking to have everyone sit down, facilitate that, and let the promoters decide?
Well, we would like to sit down, facilitate that, and let the promoters come up with a consensus. Obviously, we would have a recommendation, and a lot of that will go to the actual idea of marketing and what the fans like to see the most and what's best for the sport. We don't want to dictate anything to anybody. That's not our role. We don't have that authority to do that, but we would like to be the part where we serve as a moderator to bring consensus within these arenas.
David, 5 months after the launch of WAMA, how have you guys made a difference? If this organization was never launched, what would we have been missing out today, early April 2008? What have you guys done to sort of make a dent and make the world of MMA better?
Well, first of all, I think, and I'll go back to something Michael said earlier, I think that we're bringing an increased focus on this sport with outside of what is the normal fan base. And I think we are helping to add that legitimacy to the sport, that those outside of the sport as it has grown can look at it and say, wow, there's an organization that we can trust that's transparent and that helps to do that. That along with that legitimacy, there's an integrity that we can trust these people to work with the promoters to bring us the best possible fights there are. And that benefits the fans. And I think for the fighters, what we're looking at, and we've talked to many of the fighters, and it doesn't matter what promotional group they are with, They all say the same thing. What's taken so long? Why can't I be a world champion? Why can't I have my own marketing for my own face and represent MMA? And why can't I have the safety that I deserve? Why can't I be treated like an athlete? And I think what we're doing is helping to bring focus and bring attention to all of these specific areas, if you will.
Michael,
and
David, go ahead.
How we created that activity out there, that conversation through interviews like this. People are seeing this and saying, wow, this sport is at a certain level. It's come a long way thanks to promotional groups but like the UFC. But now we need to take it to the next level, and WAM is here to help do that.
Michael, David, final question. I'll throw this up to both of you. If there's anything that I didn't cover, I think we sort of covered the gamut here, but if there was anything that I didn't touch on that you'd like to sort of get out, I give you the forum, anything you wish.
Ariel, I'll take that up. I mean, one of the most important announcements that we've had recently is the establishment of the WAMA Fighter Advisory Board. The WAMA Fighter Advisory Board is going to be an ad hoc committee of active MMA fighters. The most important announcement is that we have two wonderful chairs, the first being our very own Vice President, Pat Militich, a five-time former UFC champion. Secondly, our other co-chair is none other than the natural Randy Couture. We had a great meeting with Randy Couture. He has accepted this position. The goal of the WAMA Fighter Advisory Board, and we plan to have a summit here in Orlando, Florida, over the next few months, is to sit down with the fighters themselves and address the issues that are most important to really the most important commodity in MMA, which is the fighters themselves, and to hear what they have to say about their contracts, about their ability to get promotions, about health insurance and pensions, and to have WAMA address those issues. So that, in regard to something that's an important announcement, we're happy to have Randy and Pat chair our Fighter Advisory Board.
Well, that's great news. This is something new, right? Because I was doing a lot of research on your website and elsewhere on the Internet. I hadn't seen Randy's name associated with the organization.
That is why, Ariel, you have a scoop today, because that really is one of the most important things that we can announce is Randy's involvement with WAMA as a co-chair of that Fighter Advisory Board. I couldn't be more excited.
Well, definitely one of the most respected faces in the world of mixed martial arts, so most definitely a great, great step for you guys. Michael, David, really appreciate this. I really enjoyed it, and I think that I sort of was speaking on behalf of all the fans out there. These were the questions that they wanted to know and to find out a little bit more, because haven't seen much, many people against the idea of WAMA, but I just think that there were a lot of questions out there, so I hope that we were able to answer them for all the fans. I appreciate the time, and best of luck in what you guys are trying to accomplish.
Thank you very much.
Ariel, thank you very much.